This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Let's conclude this with our text has been 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, verse 16 through 18. It's the short list. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, we're going to conclude a prayer, then we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and wrap it up. But let's talk about the Lord's Prayer. This time, I'm going to put it up in the version that we all know it, which is King James. You want to? So go ahead and put that up. Let's pray this together in this manner. Our Father in heaven. No, hallowed be your... Wait, Carrie, do you not have that in King James? Can you get that in King James? Because we go to New King James and everyone gets messed up. How many of you know it in King James? You learned it in King James. That's most of it. Carrie will get it in just a second, and then we'll put it up, and we'll do that. I learned it in King James. I had a guy tell me one time that he was only read out of the King James because that was the version that Jesus used. Now, if you don't think that's funny, I need to talk to you after the service is over. Carrie, have you found that in King James yet? Carrie, the Cowboys don't play Houston for a while. Can you? I bet we can just say it by memory. You want to do it by memory? Okay. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's a good prayer. Say, can we just pray that prayer just as is? Absolutely. You can pray it as is, or you can use it as a pattern. So I want to conclude with what he talked about at the very end. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Notice how we started, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when you start prayer, we don't just launch in. God, I need this. God, I want this. God, this is bothering me. We start off with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, you're good. We worship him. And then when we close, we're ending well. Have you ever had someone who's just horrible at getting off the phone with you? They're just abrupt. And you're talking away, and then you realize they've hung up. And you're like, what happened to you? Or if you ever had someone you're trying to, you're talking with them, and they just awkwardly end the conversation. You're talking, and they're gone. I think sometimes we pray that way. We pray, we start with praying, we tell the Lord everything we need, and then we're gone. And the Lord's probably going, goodbye. Wouldn't it be good just to say goodbye? Isn't it good when you end well just to say, hey, good seeing you. Wonderful. Jesus said, end the prayers right. Yours is the kingdom. So we're talking about yours is the kingdom. Kingdom means royal dominion. It's used about 150 times in the New Testament. And so the kingdom is what, this is a great reminder. I love to end with yours is the kingdom because it reminds me that this is bigger than me. Because we're a lot of times, we're concerned about our kingdom. Draw a circle around yourself, my kingdom, me, my kids, our four, no more. And we get very caught up in our kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's his kingdom. And when you realize it's his kingdom, it's a really neat thing. Years ago, my parents took our great trip. I was 17 years old, and we went to Montreal for the Olympics. And it was 1976. And that was really a wonderful, very memorable trip. And we went to the Olympics. Here's what was probably my most memorable time. When you're at the Olympics, you got all these other nations there. Well, if your country, America, is in the event, you're cheering. And so my dad somehow scored tickets for the boxing finals. And this is when we were good in boxing. This is when Sugar Ray Leonard was fighting. And so we were up, and my mother didn't want to go. She's like, Richard, I don't want to go. My mother's a very genteel Southern lady. She didn't want to see boxing. I look over there about in the middle of the bout, and my mother is up there with the rest of us going, USA, USA. Because we're battling Russia. At that time, it was the USSR, our enemy. And Cuba. And man, we were just... And it's amazing how when it's your country, even my genteel mother is standing up screaming USA, hit him, you know. I'm like, Mom. Cheering for our country. Why, you realize we were surrounded by people who were Americans. We realize, hey, we're in the Olympics. This is big. I really believe when we get focused on the fact that God's kingdom is big, that's a good kingdom. Father, yours is the kingdom bigger than the USA, bigger than Texas. I did not blaspheme. He is bigger than Texas. So we talk about we've been transferred into his kingdom. This is just a great verse in Colossians. This is a good verse to remember. Colossians 1:13 says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son of his love. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Real quick, you need to catch this. We're part of God's kingdom. We're citizens of his kingdom. Do you realize you've been delivered from Satan's kingdom? Note that power of darkness means the authority of darkness. The darkness has no authority over you. Satan has no authority over you. And all his stuff has no authority over you. His sickness, his disease, his depression, his oppression, all that junk, that's not coming from the Lord. And if it's not coming from him, I'm not taking it. You can kind of just lock your heels in. Let me ask you a question. If you went home tonight and you heard a knock on your door, and you go to the door and you open up, and there's these two guys standing there in suits, tall, and they look like they cannot be from here. And they say, "Are you Alan Clayton?" I said, "Yep." Well, this is what I would say. You wouldn't say that. But I would say, "Yeah." They say, "Alan, you're under arrest for preaching the gospel in Conroe." I'm like, "Who are you?" And they pull out these badges, because I want to see some badges. They pull out these badges, and they say, "We're from the People's Republic of China." I'm laughing at you. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. You in the wrong country, Hoss. I'm not under arrest. This is Texas. We shoot folks like you if you show up. You're outside your mind. You need to go with us. I ain't going anywhere with you. In fact, where you're going is I'm calling the police to get you off my doorstep, or I'm going to stick my poodle Boudreaux on you, and it could be all over then. You're not budging. Why? Because no Chinese, I don't care what your rank is, you have no authority in the United States. You can't come. I'm a citizen of the U.S. You can't come in and arrest me. Forget that. So the same thing when the enemy shows up at your door and knocks and goes, "Excuse me, Satan's kingdom, got some depression for you." You look at him and go, "You better get off my doorstep. I'm gonna stick my spirit-filled poodle on you right now." I mean, it's just, I'm not taking this. And the deal is we've been delivered from the, now I use that, that's humorous, but listen, seriously. Satan has no right in dominating you. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus has defeated him, and you're not part of his kingdom. We're part of God's kingdom. It's his kingdom. So you wouldn't take it from the Chinese. Now, if I was in China, I know Jim Eby goes, and he travels in places where if he gets a knock on the door, he could be in trouble, which is another good reason to pray for our missionaries, because there's still places in this world where you can't preach the gospel free. And so he's in a different situation. But no foreign entity can follow Jim into our country and arrest Jim. Because when he's here, he's on home turf. He's in the kingdom of the United States. And so where's Jim? Jim, wave at me. Give Jim a hand clap. He does a great job. He goes all over the world. Okay. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. The power means the ability to be able. It's achieving power. It's a great reminder that our Father is powerful. His word is powerful. His spirit is powerful. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." He is powerful. Power. The Holy Spirit's not weak. He's not cowardly. He's powerful. He's loving, and he's very sharp. That's a sound mind. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Now the glory, this is where sometimes we can get it mixed up. The glory means the praise, the honor, the splendor, the dignity. God, yours is all. You realize when we get to heaven, we will not be worshiped. Nobody on earth is going to be really enamoring to us. Now we may see people that have had a, and we'll see each other and we will recognize one another. Aren't you glad we're not going to be fat little angels with angel wings shooting arrows at one another? It's heaven. We're going to see one another. We're going to look good. You can forget this old age stuff, gone. No wrinkles. We get to eat all we want. Nobody gets fat. This is going to be good. We're going to see one another. We're going to feel good. No darkness. No junk that's in this world. Boo. It'll be fun. Say, let's go now. No, let's don't. We got a job to do. We need to reach people. But when we see one another, we're not going to be enamored so much with who and what did you... Oh, guess what? I just saw that so-and-so. They were NFL quarterback. We're not going to care because we're there and we realize that Jesus is the one that gets honored and glorified and God is here. He's the only one we're going to honor and glorify. And we're like, oh, you saw an NFL quarterback? Hey, good. There's Jesus. Hey. And he's the one that deserves all the honor. So he says, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory. He contrasts that with man's glory. First Peter talks about man's glory, and this is what it says. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. How many of you know that regardless of who you think is so awesome right now, in 50 years, they won't be near as awesome? Well, let's look at athletes. Athletes stay forever? No. They get old. Early. And I hope Tom Brady gets real old before Sunday. Just saying. But they get old. How about movie stars? They're gorgeous in their 20s, and you see them in their 80s. You don't go, oh, wow. They're gorgeous. You go, ooh. Wow. That plastic surgery didn't work well. She raises her eyebrows and her socks rise up. That's a man's glory fades. It goes away. God's glory never fades, never goes away. There'll never be an announcement in heaven. God said he's done. That's all he's got. The Bible said through the ages to come, he's going to continue to show the riches of his glory. So this is all the power. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. God, yours is the glory, all the dignity, all the honor. See, this is a good way to end. And it says, forever, in perpetuity. I learned that from Shark Tank. Perpetuity means forever, no end. No end to his kingdom. They won't vote him out. No end to his power, no end to his glory, forever. And we're constantly going to be worshiping and honoring him forever. I love something that Wayne Cordero shared years ago about forever. He said if you took a cable about an inch across cable, and you took it as far east as you could go, so going far east there, and that same cable just stretched as far west as you go, they'll never meet. As they go out there just into infinity, he said that represents eternity. He said, if you take a ballpoint pen and you make a scratch on that cable, he said, that represents our life here on earth. Because compared to, we think it's so long. But the older I get, I realize how quickly time passes. And you look up and the kids are grown. And you look up and you're thinking, where'd it go? And we live for that scratch, and that scratch is so important, and we think about that scratch. That scratch is not all there is. There's eternity, and it's forever. And that's great. That's why we have to preach the gospel. That's why we want people to live in heaven forever with us, those of us who know the Lord. And it's important. And it's also something that we can have an impact on eternity while we're here. We have an opportunity to do something for the Lord. It's not just this life and then we go. What we do in this life carries on. And so forever, I love that word, it's forever, forever. And forever we'll be worshiping him. So that's the way we end in prayer. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power, Lord. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. The next thing on the short list, and I won't take much time to go into it tonight, but I think it's important that we bring it up, is giving thanks. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you realize just that short list will keep you busy for a long time? Rejoicing always, praying, not giving up on prayer, and then giving thanks. In everything give thanks. So to give thanks simply means to express gratitude. Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks for provision. He gave thanks when God heard him. Look at this. Jesus, John 11:41, he's outside of Lazarus' tomb. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. You have heard me. So Jesus gave thanks for food. He gave thanks for provision. He gave thanks to God. Paul gave thanks. Paul always talked about, I give thanks for you. I'm praying for you. Talked about the people. As Paul would go around, he would go into areas that had never heard the gospel before. He would start a church, and then he would pray for that church. And he had a heart for those people, and he would pray. So I'm always giving thanks to God for you. He would give thanks to God in the middle of difficult circumstances. So Paul was always giving thanks. In fact, in Acts 27:35, you see Paul on the ship. There's a ship that's just tossing and turning in the middle of a hurricane. And Paul took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he broke it, he began to eat. Now, they've been in a storm for 2 weeks. And that storm was driving them. And that storm was just, man, pounding. You know, it's raining. The wind is blowing. And this guy stops to give thanks. And stops to, before he takes food, he gives thanks for it. And thanks God in the middle of it. Because he's what he's thanking God for. Thank you, God, that we're here. I think it's good to give thanks. If you don't have a habit of maybe giving thanks before you eat, it's a good habit to teach your kids. It's good just to stop just for a moment and say, Lord, we want to thank you. You know, we live in a country where we got so much food. If you've ever been in a place where you haven't had food, it'll make you give thanks. If you've ever had food poisoning, the next time you eat, I promise you, you will give thanks. You will pray over that food. You're like, oh, Lord Jesus. This food is sanctified. The Bible is sanctified or set apart by the Word of God in prayer. And so giving thanks is just a good thing to do. It says you don't have to give thanks long. We've talked about that. Don't pray long over the food. It's not on our 9 values, but it should be. Don't pray long over the food. That's not your time to fellowship. That's your time to bless the food and eat it before it gets cold. But giving thanks is good. Here's some reasons for giving thanks. Here's the reasons. Number one, he said, it's the will of God for us. We could stop right there. Okay, Father, I know your will. You want me to give thanks and everything. 2, it acknowledges what God has done for us. When you're giving thanks, you're saying, Father, thank you that you have done something in my life. Here's something we have noticed over the years. We've watched this on staff. A lot of times when people come to work with us on staff at the church, they come in happy. You've seen this. Some of you who are employers, you've seen this. You get a job, you come in happy. You're like, oh, man, this is awesome. I love this place. It's awesome. Everyone is awesome. It's just awesome. Awesome. And we see them a couple years later, and they're like, yeah, I'm here. You ever notice that? Yes. Ever notice how thankful? I've often told the staff this. If you can retain your gratitude, you will keep loving this job. So, Alan, if I worked for a church, I would love it. No. Every church is like every other. Every job's got stuff. Even here. I know some of you think we just kind of like float. We kind of float around and, oh, what's Pastor Alan doing? Well, he's just kind of floating through the staff, sharing pearls of wisdom with everyone. And then, oh, here's Joy. Ooh, she brings in that aura with her. No, no, it's not like that. And the staff says, no, it's not like that. Amen. But what happens? But here's the deal. I've noticed over the years, some staff members have retained a gratitude. And if you can stay thankful, that's one of the best ways to keep your attitude good. Amen. Can I get an amen, somebody? Yeah. Yeah, this is right where it hits home. Hey, listen, It works that way in so many areas of life. It works that way in marriage. I can see some of y'all starting to grip the seat right now, going, Lord knows, what is he going to say next? Just be thankful that I'm not coming to you. Here I come. People say, I'm going to sit farther in the back next time. If you stay thankful, you keep your attitude good. Have you ever almost lost somebody? And then when you find them, you're just like, oh. Ever lose kids? I'm not talking about on purpose. I'm talking about you have lost kids. And man, you turn around and they're gone, or they're at the beach. And man, and then when you find them, first thing you're just like, oh. And you're so thankful. Ever almost lost someone, maybe to a sickness and disease, and realize they made it through, and you're like, oh, I'm so thankful. Hey, we don't want to get to the place where we almost lose someone to be thankful. So one of the best things we can do is just maintain an attitude of thankfulness all the time. You want to freak out somebody in your life? Call them up today or just look at them and go, I am so thankful for you. And then smile and walk away. It'll mess with their heads. But it's one of the best things that you can do. But how about this? I remember when I came to the Lord, and I remember how merciful he was to me. And I remember how bad I had been, and how I'd cursed his name, and how I'd done things that just, I know were just despicable. And he was merciful to me and gracious to me. And when I came back, I was so thankful. Man, I came into church. I just loved church. I loved God. I loved all his people. I was just thankful. So what happens if you're not careful? Gratitude's kind of like gasoline. It'll leak out. You use it up, and you need to refill it. And just go back and say, Lord, I'm just so grateful, thankful. We get that way with the Lord, too. I don't know about you. I'm so glad that he saved me. So glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that, man, I'm so glad that he healed my wife when she almost died. I'm so glad that my kids love the Lord. So thankful for that. I'm so thankful I get a chance to be a pastor. I love this. This is good. I'm grateful. I drive up in the parking lot sometimes and go, thank you. Thank you. I don't deserve this. But you've been gracious to me. Thank you. Thank you. And you know what it does? It just keeps it keeps things clear between you and the Lord. That's why I think the Lord said, in everything, give thanks. And I want you to hear me on something else. I'm not giving thanks. When disease hit my wife's body, I wasn't thanking the Lord for the disease because it didn't come from him. I'm thanking the Lord for the healing, for the answer. When a problem comes, you're saying, it says, in everything, give thanks. I'm only giving thanks to God to the things that come from God. They don't come from him. I'm not giving thanks for that. We faced problems. We faced difficulties. When my daughter had such a difficult time, I wasn't giving thanks that she was going through that difficult time. I was giving thanks that God knew and he understood and he was going to help us through it. I'm giving thanks for the victory, not for the problem. Carry that next verse is 1 Corinthians. If you just put it up there. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the last word on thanksgiving, and this is real helpful. Not only am I thanking God for what he's done, I'm thanking God for what I believe is going to happen in my life. I'm thanking him. Thanking him for this church, that our best days are still ahead of us. I'm grateful. We got some good things planned. I'm grateful. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. I'm glad that whatever problems come our way, he's got a way out. There's a way of victory in that. So how can you remain thankful? You're thanking God for things you hadn't seen yet. Oh, man, Alan, I'm having problems with my spouse. I'm having problems. We're having problems. Well, thank you, Lord. I'm not thanking the Lord that we're having problems, but I am thanking the Lord. The Lord, you know there's a way out of this. You know you can help me with this. And you'll never leave me or forsake me. Thank you. I'm not alone in this. Thank you. thank you. And you can just give thanks. And giving thanks is something you can just do all the time. You can just ride down the street and just stop and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. And it'll help you. It'll help you. Your attitude stay good. You don't have to feel like it. All this short list that we've given today is a choice. Rejoicing, choice. Praying, choice. Giving thanks, choice. But these choices that yield wonderful results. Giving thanks always. Well, you can give thanks. I'm going to end on time. Would you bow your heads, please, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, grateful are we. Grateful are we that you have done so many wonderful things. Father, there's a lot of us sitting in here today. We would not be alive if it weren't for you. We would not be here if it weren't for you. Thank you for what you've done. And Lord, we just appreciate it. Thank you. But not only, Father, have you done the work in our past, not only are you working in us now, you've got good things planned for us up ahead. And when we walk with you, Father, good things are in store, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the victory over the difficulties. Thank you for the victory over the addictions. Thank you for the victory over the problems. Thank you for the victory over not knowing what to do. Lord, we give you thanks today before we ever see it or feel it, because you're the God that helps us come through. We praise you for it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this evening. If you're here and you say, Alan, I don't even know that I know the Lord. I don't know that. I want to be sure of that, but I'm not sure. Or you're here tonight and you say, I used to walk with God. I used to have a relationship with him, but I've gotten so far away from him. Well, tonight we're going to say a very simple prayer sitting right in your chair. We're not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But if that's you and you're saying, you know what, I believe I am here for a purpose, and I do want your prayers. Would you have either one of those situations? I want to be confident, or I want to come back to the Lord. Would you pray for me? We're going to do that, but I need you to do one thing for me. I just simply need you to acknowledge that in just a moment by an uplifted hand. I'm going to ask you that again. If you're here tonight and you're saying, Alan, I'm not sure where I am with the Lord, or I know I used to walk with him and I've gotten so far away and I want to come back. Either one of those situations applies to you and you want it changed tonight, you want things to be different, you want our prayers, real quickly slip your hand up across the auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for that. Anybody? Yeah, in the front? Anybody in the back? Great. Thank you. Yes. Way in the back row. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand and you're thinking, I missed it. You didn't miss your opportunity to pray. We're going to pray this prayer. It's a heart prayer. We're all going to pray it with you out loud. Pray it so you can hear yourself pray it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those that stepped out of darkness into your light, and for those who have come back home. Thank you. You welcome them with open arms. You're a good Father. And we give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.